Blog Talk Radio.
We want to welcome everyone once again to the RF Sports Radio Show. I'm your host, RF. It is Thursday, and as you guys know, on our Thursday show, we get a chance to talk about a lot of stuff. We get to do our picks. We get to do pretty much everything, talk about the NFL coming up, college football, a lot of stories we want to get into today, a lot of things are happening. It is Thursday, October 14th. The time is 9 o'clock. And as you guys know, can't get the show started without welcoming our co-host in. So I want to bring him on real quick. And welcome Royce to the program. Royce, how you doing?
Hello, Rodney. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man.
I'm
it's Thursday,
celebrating man. Front of Rangers. Just celebrating in front of Rangers win now.
That's right. We're going to talk a lot of Rangers and stuff as well, too. So we're definitely looking forward to that. Now, Royce, now we're going to get into a couple of picks later on in the show. You ready to redeem yourself and your record on the picks?
Yeah, Rodney, I think a lot of people got caught up in the upsets last week, and there's quite a few of them. We're going to talk about those, too. I'm pretty sure I wasn't the only one that had a bad week picking. How did you do?
Yeah. I didn't do too good either. I didn't do too good at all. As you guys know, you follow the show. You know we do picks on Thursday. I happened to go 5-9 last Thursday. Rick went 5-9 as well. And then, Royce, you actually went 4-10. So you got some catching up.
4-10. Well, you know, if I had to pick the Cowboys, like y'all convinced me to do, I'd have been tied with you. 5-9.
Okay. With no convincing this week, you know, everybody gets to make their own opinion and make their own pick this week, so no convincing this week. Now, you brought up a good thing. We talked about the Rangers. The Rangers get ready to start their series tomorrow, matter of fact. So they get started at 7 p.m. tomorrow here in Arlington, Texas. And, Royce, what do you expect this scene to look like tomorrow with the Rangers having their first ALCS, especially having the first game at home? What do you expect to see?
I'll tell you what, I'm excited. This is not the same Ranger team that the Yankees owned for years. It's a whole different ball club, a whole different organization, a whole new set of owners, a whole new attitude. And I think that this Ranger team could beat the Yankees. I think they got a good chance. I think 60-40, 70-30 chance.
Yeah, well, I agree with you on that. The Rangers have had a good series as far as a good record playing the Yankees this year, whether it's at home or whether it's on the road. We're pitching lights out, so I think we do have an excellent chance. Let's look at both of these teams real quick. And if any of you guys want to call in and chime in on the show, you know you're more than welcome. The call-in number is 323-927-2906. That's 323-927-2906. If you're listening online, you can still catch us on Twitter. The Twitter feed is still RF Sports Radio. You can also follow us or send us an email at rfsportsradio@gmail.com. So let's get into a couple of this, a little quick analysis about this game and look at these two teams. Now, these two teams, Royce, had a lot of similarities, starting with a lot of ex-Rangers that are on the Yankee squad, namely Mark Teixeira. Namely, Alex Rodriguez. And then benefiting from these trades, I mean, the Rangers have a lot of young talent. Even with the Teixeira trade, they picked up Elvis Andrews. They picked up Natale Feliz. What do you think about a lot of these ex-Rangers being on the Yankees and then also the Rangers benefit with young talent? You think it was an equal deal, or do you think that they have the advantage having a couple of power hitters over there that we gave them?
Well, you know, that's been the Rangers' trademark in the past, was just hitting. I think the junk team, you got a combination of, you know, they always had big sluggers. Alex Rodriguez, for one, he was a big slugger. But I think this team is more of a finesse team. In the last game, they had doubles inside, you know, the park doubles, you know what I mean? They scored without hitting the home runs. So I don't think they need the big bats if they keep playing the way they're playing. So I think the Rangers is a different team. It's good. And these guys are much younger than the ones that are left. But if you look at the Ranger organization, we had a lot of good players come through here. I mean, a lot of great players that played for the Rangers went on to do greatness. But I see this team is young and hungry. And like I said, they know how to win without having to hit home runs all the time, being power hitters. Yeah. I think they'll be all right.
And I think you're right about that, too. This team here, a lot of people played into the fact that this is their first time. They never won a playoff series. And that was back in 99, 11 years ago. And none of these players were on that team in 99. So they don't know that. To them, it's the first time they have a brand-new series. They're not living in the past with, oh, we can't get over the hump. There is no hump for them to get over because none of these guys on that team last time. So really the sky's the limit for them. And they believe they can win. Let's look a little bit at the pitching lineup. The way the Rangers have been pitching, I think they're pitching better than almost any team in the playoffs. Discounted Roy Halladay getting that no-hitter that first game of the playoffs. But they're pitching lights out right now. I mean, you got Cliff Lee, you got CC Sabathia, two aces, although they may not even face each other in this series. You got CJ Wilson, which he'll take the mound tomorrow. Kobe Lewis will take the mound game two. And you still got Tommy Hunter that can start easily. And I think Cliff Lee is going to actually start game three when they go back to New York. But, I mean, who do you think has the edge and advantage in pitching? I know that CC Sabathia has been a proven winner, and Andy Pettis had plenty of experience in the playoffs, even Phil Hughes. Do you like the experience that the Yankees have, or do you like the arms that the Rangers have with Cliff Lee, Kobe Lewis, and C.J. Wilson?
Well, you know, I think the pitching, I think Yankees may have a slight advantage since a lot of these guys been in the big show, you know, when the lights are bright. You know, and the Rangers have never been here in this territory. But the way Lee's been pitching and the way the whole pitching staff has been throwing, you know, in the playoffs, I think it's almost equal. You know, when you got Lee, if Lee pitches the way he does, I know he won't pitch the first game, but he'd be able to come in there. I mean, he's just as good as the Yankees pitchers. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think so. I really like what the Rangers pitchers is doing right now, the way they're pitching. Although they're young, they don't have a lot of experience. But if they don't even think about that part, I mean, I think they could go just as far as anybody with experience. I know these other guys have been in World Series, they've been in close divisional series or conference championships. But I think I have to give the advantage to the Rangers on this one simply because Cliff Lee is undefeated in the postseason. He's never lost in the postseason. And now C.J. Wilson has an undefeated record as well. So I think that, I think these guys, the sky's the limit for them. I think I have to get the advantage of them as far as the pitching goes, most definitely. Let's look at some of the hitters in the lineup. I mean, you look at this Yankees lineup, they've got Hall of Famers up and down the roster, everyone from Alex Rodriguez, Derek Jeter, Jorge Posada, Nick Swisher, Mark Teixeira. They got home run hitters, big hitters in their lineup. But the Rangers, you know, they're not too far behind. They got big hitters too. Josh Hamilton, Nelly Cruz, Michael Young, Ian Kinsler, who's coming on with a lot of power. Both Kinsler and Cruz had three home runs in his past series. Who do you give the advantage to as far as having the hitters in the lineup?
Well, you got to go to the Yankees. They've proven. So far, the Rangers haven't proved anything yet. We'll know after this series, but I got to get a nod to the Yankees. We'll see. I got to get a nod to the Yankees. I do have personal involvement. I'm biased. I'm pulling for the Rangers anyway. But I think they learned how to beat the Yankees. Had this been an old Ranger team, I wouldn't give them a chance, but this, like I said, it's a totally different team. It's a lot of guys that with a lot to prove on the Rangers. Yankees guys, they're proven players. But I think this Ranger team, these guys have a lot to prove. It's a chance to become household names. It's a chance to win a championship, you know. So they do have a lot to prove, and we'll see just how talented they really are. I'm ready to get the game started. I'm ready.
Yeah. I think I'm going to have to give the nod to me on the hitters end to the Yankees because, like I said before, they got so many Hall of Famers in their lineup, potential Hall of Famers. I mean, their designated hitter is Lance Berkman, and he's led the league in home runs at different times throughout his career. Mark Teixeira is a home run hitter. Jorge Posada is a home run hitter. Nick Swisher, Alex Rodriguez, Derek Jeter might hit a home run. So I think even Robinson Cano. So I think I got to give the advantage to them as far as having the hitters, only because Josh Hamilton, our biggest hitter, hasn't really done what he needs to do.
Now
right,
he hasn't done much.
Hit the long ball.
Right. Yeah, he wasn't too hot in the series. Maybe he'll come alive in this series. So,
yeah, I'm definitely hoping.
I hope he does, and we get him to start hitting along with the rest of the guys. We got a good chance. But right now, the good thing about it, Rodney, everybody's equal. Your record doesn't mean anything. Your past championships don't mean anything. Tomorrow, everybody's equal. Everybody's fighting for that championship. So as far as I'm concerned, it's 50-50.
Right. Yeah,
whoever wants it bad enough will win. Right.
Mm-hmm. And let's look at the managers for the two clubs. You got Ron Washington, a guy who's turned a franchise around. He's had a great season this year. He's made a lot of good calls throughout the year. And then, of course, you have the Yankees manager who's been there before. Girardi's been there, not just with the Yankees, but with other clubs. He's won a World Series with the Yankees already and made some clutch decisions. Who do you give the nod to as far as having the best manager to win this series?
Well, you got to give to the Yankees. Like I said, he's been there. You have to really coach when you get in the playoffs. It's different from regular season. You know what I mean? You really have to, it's like a chess game. You really have to sit them in and play. But I like what Washington has done. You know, at the beginning of the year, it was questionable about him coming, you know, being the right pick for the Rangers. You know, he started out kind of slow. But he's been consistent this year. I got to give him credit for overcoming his little problem he had. He seemed to be relaxed. He seemed to know what he's doing. He's done wonders with his ball club. So just like Sean Payton did with the New Orleans Saints last year, you know, he was his first time to the big show. And he actually, I coached, you know, some of the veteran coaches. So I got to get a nod to the Yankees because, like I said, they've been there. It's a different game when you're in the playoffs. You know, really
yeah, I've got to give the nod to the Yankees on the managerial part, too, simply because, as you said, we talked about, he's been there before. He's made clutch decisions before. And he can easily just, you know, he can easily rely on what his past experiences was, not just as a player, but, I mean, as a manager, but also as a player as well, too, because he did play also. Here's another quote real quick from Ron Washington, and he was talking about the Yankees today. He says, I think the key with the Yankees is to not keep turning that lineup over. They have a lot of experience in it. They grind. They're built for the playoffs. So we just have to minimize the opportunities that we give to that limit. And if we do, then we'll be in the ball games. I think that was well said by Ron. I like Ron Watson. We talked about him before, the adversities he's overcome this season, coaching a bankrupt team, but somehow getting a chance to pull in some good veterans this year. He beat the scandal in training camp about the drug abuse deal. The Rangers, you know, instilled some confidence in him early this season when a lot of people wanted him gone. And lo and behold, he's turned around and got this team poised to go to a World Series. So hats off to Washington. I really like Ron Washington, but I've got to get the nod to Girardi because he's had a chance to kind of be there and manage some big games like this. And the last thing I wanted to kind of look at real quick, Royce, is the stadiums, the home field advantage factor. I know we're starting to Texas.
Right.
And I know, Texas has never Arlington's never hosted at ALCS. And I know that
it'd be wild,
right?
It'd be
and
wild,
I know the
right.
Yankees, the mystique of having the Yankees at the stadium. I know it's not the old stadium, but that mystique of being there. You're in New York. It's October. You know the fanfare that's going to happen for the city. Even though we're going to have a lot of it here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, but it's not New York. This is still a football town. So who do you give the advantage to as far as home field in the two stadiums?
Wow, that's a good one. Well, like I say, you know, it's something about Yankee Stadium. But I think for the first time in the Ranger history, this stadium here is going to be rocking. It's going to be loud. You know, the atmosphere, you know, if you watch from the local news, you know, he had people lining up right after the game to get tickets. They put up banners all over the city. I mean, the newspaper, man. I'm going to say it's a tie because ours is just going to be loud, just as loud. And we have beat them here several times before.
Right,
so they look
right.
at it as a game, they'd be okay. And I think the team that make the less errors win this series. So whoever make the less errors will win. And what the Rangers have to do is don't make errors. You know, don't make the little mistakes. You know, and if they're going to grind, you got to grind with. If they play the way they played all year, I think they really have a chance. So we'll see. But I think this stadium in Arlington is going to be loud. It's going to be crazy. I mean, we know it's right there by the Cowboys Stadium, the Avianca, the Browns, you know, Arlington, the Six Flags, you know what I mean, and the city. I mean, if you think about it, you have the whole Metroplex behind. You got Dallas, Fort Worth, all surrounding cities, you know what I mean? As a matter of fact, I think you have the state of Texas behind them, you know. So we'll see. We'll see.
The biggest thing I think is going to play a factor is the fact that, you know, although we had a ruckus crowd for game three when they came back to Texas, game four was almost, you know, a totally different crowd than game three.
Right.
It's like a lot
right.
of the excitement was gone because they thought they were going to sweep.
Right.
And I just think that Yankees are kind of, you know, pardon my expression, Russ, they're kind of like the Cowboys. They got fans everywhere. So no matter if the Yankees are playing at home or they're playing in Texas, there are going to be a lot of Yankee fans at the game. I don't care where you go. There are going to be Yankee fans everywhere. So my thing is I think the advantage has to go to the Yankees because no matter where they go and play, they have enough fans to come out to make it just like a home game. They haven't won a game at home in the playoffs yet.
Right. But I think we might have, let's just see how many Ranger fans we have up north. I mean, they of course now they're not as vocal as Yankee fans because we've never been there, you know. But I don't know how many fans are behind the Rangers, you know, because they haven't been at the big dance before. So we don't know, you know, let's see how many Ranger fans show up in Yankee Stadium, you know.
That's true.
So that's key. But, I like this team. I like to say the excitement's there. You can't get caught up in the hype. I know it's your first time going. And I think that it's time for the Yankees to go down. You know, nobody stays on top forever.
Right.
You know, the
Yankees always have the mantra of being the quote-unquote evil empire. They're the team that steals all the best players from all the other clubs. They're the team that has the $200-plus million payroll. You know, they're the team that, and the Rangers are only spending close to $60 million on payroll right now. So I think a lot of people in baseball across the country are rooting for the Yankees, I mean, for the Rangers. I believe that. But I think that whole mystique, like you talked about being New York, it's October baseball. I think that's a huge advantage.
And the weather.
And the weather, you're
the
absolutely
weather
right. And the weather's going to play a role in this.
Right.
You know they're going to have to play a role in this.
Right, it's a lot colder up in October in New York than it is here in Texas, you know. So we'll see if it's anything like the game of the night. Remember when the Jets played, it was raining. You know, the weather was really bad. So we'll see. You know,
announced earlier today that actually there's going to be a lineup change in the pitching lineup for the Yankees. They're actually going to pitch Andy Pettitte on game three to face Cliff Lee instead of game two like he would normally pitch in the rotation.
Wow.
So it's going
to
be some
the
coaches
are
already
trying
to get ready to get everything done. And rosters are due for both clubs tomorrow by 10 a.m. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, we'll definitely see
Who do you think will win? Who do you think is a better pitcher between those two?
Cliff Lee and Andy Pettitte?
Right.
I've got to give it to Cliff Lee. I mean, he's undefeated. The guy's never lost
right
in the playoffs. He's got a 1.44 ERA. He's 6-0 in postseason play. I think he's the best pitcher in the series by far because he throws strikes. He doesn't get cute, And the guys and the guy hasn't lost. I mean, how could you not say he's a better pitcher if he's never lost?
And you know what? I like his excitement. If you notice, he was off the field a couple of times before the batter even put the bat down.
Right.
He tried it out on the field. He tried it back to his dug. You know, that's what I like about it. His excitement. Mm-hmm. You know, he was, and I mean, he pitched a mean, tough game. I mean, he really put it out there. So if he can keep that same enthusiasm and pitch the way he's been pitching, I mean, you got to get a nod at least. Gotcha.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Now, with that said, we've looked at the coaches, I mean the managers. We've looked at the hitters. We've looked at the pitchers. We looked at the stadium. So give me your prediction for this series. It gets started tomorrow. I know you're favoring the Rangers. Are you picking the Rangers to win?
Yes.
And then how many games do you think for the Rangers to advance to the first World Series?
I think it's going to come down to the last game, Rodney. And I hope not. I hope not, because I've seen it too many times and time and time again. Yankees pull out a close game, especially if it's, you know, the series is on the line. But if the Rangers could jump out there to a lead, you know, if they can win, if they can even split one here, you know, it would be good. But they need to go ahead and make a statement, you know what I mean, and get it over with quick. I know it's not going to be quick and easy, but I think it's going to go the entire series. What about you?
I'm picking the Rangers to win. I'm picking them to win in six games. And I think if it gets to the point where we're up in this series 3-2 after game five, I think Ron will pull the trigger and let Cliff Lee pitch that game six. I think it's all hands on deck at that point. I would hope he does.
Yeah,
I hope he doesn't anticipate a game seven and hold him out for game seven. But I think if it came down to it, he would pitch him in game six, and I think we win that game. So I think the Rangers are winning six is how I feel.
Well, especially if they up one. I mean, why not go ahead and close it out? Yeah, go ahead and put everything online, because you don't really want to go. The further it goes, the harder it is for the Rangers. That's the way I look at it. You know what I mean? The longer it goes, the harder it is for the Rangers.
Yeah, you're leaving everything to game seven.
Right. Because, like I said, I've seen it time, and you've seen it time and time again, year after year, that, you know, the Yankees just find a way to win. You know?
Right.
I've seen it where I thought they were almost going to lose. And they find a way to win, you know. So,
so you got it here first. The Royals is picking the Rangers to win in a close series in seven. I'm picking the Rangers in six. And we'll keep a lot of coverage going on pertaining to the series as the series goes on. We'll definitely be talking a lot of playoff baseball. Not to discount the other series that's going on.
Exactly.
We might have to do that. Not to discount the other series that's going on, there is a National League NLCS that's happening as well. It's going to be the Philadelphia Phillies up against the San Francisco Giants. I really don't know a lot about these two teams. I watch a lot of American League baseball.
Yeah.
I can't say I've sat down and watched either team really play besides the Phillies. The Phillies have been there before, and Roy Halladay's pitching lights out. But I tell you, Roy, it's on Saturday at 7:30. I've got to watch these two to watch Tim Lincecum, a young guy. They had 14 strikeouts in his debut, and Roy Halladay, who pitched a no-hitter, and these guys are going to go at it. It's got to be a low-scoring game, but it's got to be a good game, though, right?
I'll tell you what, the last part of the season, I watched both of these teams play. Both of them surprised me. I mean, I kind of figured the Phillies would win, but the Giants come along at the last part of the season to put it together. They got the momentum. But I tell you what, from watching Philly play, I got to get an art of Philly. I mean, you're talking about pitching and hitting in a tough group. They are a tough group.
Right.
You know, they remind me of the Yankees a little bit. But the way the Giants ended the season, I mean, you know, they got a lot of momentum going into this. So we'll see. But I'm going to get an art to the Phillies. I'm hard to go with.
Yeah, I like the Phillies, too. Like you said, they got excellent pitching. They got Roy Halladay they can throw out there. They got Cole Hamels. They got Roy – who am I trying to say? Oswald. That's what I'm trying to say. He can go out there and pitch to the guy that picked up from the Houston Astros. He can go out there and pitch. So they're primed. They're ready. They got big hitters. They still got Howard. I mean, they've got big hitters on their team. So, yeah. And they've been there before, too. You know, so I give a nod to them also as well. But that's going to be a good series. I'm going to be really tuned in Saturday to watch those two guys duel it out and pitch. And it's going to be really, really nice. Really nice. And again, we want to remind everybody, if you're listening to us live, you're more than welcome to call in and give your opinion. The number, again, is 323-927-2906. You can also log in and chat with us as well at blogtalkradio.com/RFSports. And, of course, you can follow us on Twitter, RF Sports Radio, or reach us by email at rfsportsradio@gmail.com. Before we get into a lot of the NFL talk, we're going to talk a little college football and stuff as well. Russ, I got to give you a little quick blurb real quick because I think you're going to really enjoy this one. But Ron Artest was in the news today, as, you know, that's no big surprise. But Ron Artest said today he was basically asked the question to rank the top players in the NBA. Okay? So he says that Kobe's number one. Okay? And he said that number two is Kevin Durant.
Okay.
Kobe's one, Kevin Durant is two. And this is what his quote actually says. He says about Durant, he said he is the second best player in the NBA, hands down. He says Kobe's got 5 rings, 6 game winners last season, 23 straight points in game 5 in the finals off mostly jump shots. He says he's the biggest shot maker, the big shot maker. And so with that said, Durant's the second best player in the NBA. This is what Ron Artest is saying. Now, he's guarded some of the best players out there. I mean, you would agree on that. So, of course, the answer to the question came up was, well, what does LeBron James rank in what you feel like? And he said about the back-to-back MVP, he says, I can only count to two. I've been out of school 15 years, and I can only count to two. And that's Kobe and Kevin Durant. Now, what do you think about that? Now, I know how you like Durant. You like Durant like me. You think he's number two in the league right now?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would say that. Like I said, Kobe has the ring. You gotta give Kobe his props. But I've seen Kevin Durant play in the FIBA and last year's playoff game. I mean, this guy here, or a guy his size, They can handle the ball. They can shoot. They can play inside out. That game, he's a complete package, you know. And I would put him as of right now ahead of LeBron.
That'd
have to be for me. That'd have to be Kobe.
I know how you a LeBron fan. I know it's big for you to say.
It'd have to be Kobe, Durant, and LeBron. That'd be my top three. And
would you put Durant over LeBron? That's the question. Neither one has a ring.
Yeah. I'm talking about as far as what I see, what I think. You know, to me, sometimes the best player will always win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of good players come through the league that were great players and never won a championship. And a championship is not an individual. It's not an individual thing. It's a team thing. Whoever has the best team wins.
Mm. Ron Artest went on to say that he was a hard cover for me last year. I had to spend a lot of extra energy carrying extra pounds, so this should at least give me more chance to run around. He was speaking basically about coming into camp at 230 versus he actually came in 268 a year ago. And he says, I was a little bit afraid Durant would average 40 on me if I came in at 270 again. And other players in the NBA are chiming in on this as well. Dwight Howard made some comments as well, and he was actually on a radio show this week. And what he said was, let me find the quote for you real quick. But Dwight Howard, when they asked him, Dan Patrick actually asked him on his show, who's better, Durant or James? And Dwight Howard said, I got to go with Kevin.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah.
So I mean, Kevin Durant's
making
a name.
Yeah, I mean, look at him, Rodney. He's a freak of nature for a size. He can bring, he can dribble like a point guard. He can shoot the three pointer better than anybody in the league. He's tall enough to control the boards. You know what I mean? He has an inside game. He can shoot outside. I mean, who can stop him? Ron Artest is not the only one he's going to hit 40 on. I mean, who can stop it? You know, you can't put a little guy on him. You know what I mean? You can't put a big guy on him. He's too slow. You know, so, well, I mean, why, you can't stop him. He's unstoppable. Because, I mean,
I thought you would like that. I know you're a big Kevin Durant fan. So I thought you'd like that.
That's right. And I'm a LeBron fan, too. But I got to go with Kevin Durant, you know. And like I said, you can't say one player is the best player. I haven't seen that since Michael Jordan. I can honestly say that, for me, it was Michael Jordan. I know it's for you, it's Kobe.
No. Don't say that now. Now, Michael is the best player to play. I'm just saying the best player in the NBA right now that's playing basketball is Kobe Bryant. So let's clarify that before I get a bunch of hate mail. Okay. Let's clarify that. Speaking of Michael, he's in the news as well today. He made a quote, and listen to this, Royce. He says that if he played in the NBA today, he would easily score 100 points in a game. If he played in the NBA right now today, he quoted today saying that he would score 100 points. I mean, what do you think about that?
Not at his age, but if he was the Michael Jordan of old playing today, that's possible. Kobe scored 60, right?
Yeah. Well, Kobe scored 82.
Right, 82. Yeah, so it's quite possible Michael Jordan could score 100. And you know what? These guys nowadays can't guard me. I mean, as far as defenses, this is the worst I've ever seen. Teams play defense. They don't play. Nobody plays defense. They don't. Mm-hmm. Who do you know plays defense? Very few guys, right?
Very few.
Am I right?
Very few defensive.
Right. Even Kobe don't play good defense. I mean, he plays okay, but he's not a defensive force. You know what I mean? These guys nowadays, they don't play defense. So.
He says, it's less physical and the rules have changed, obviously. And based on these rules, if I had to play with my style of play, I'm pretty sure I would have fouled out or I would have been at the free throw line pretty often and would have scored 100 points.
Yeah, that's true. You can't even touch a game. You know, back then, the hand check, you can't do that no more. You know what I mean? It's a lot of things you do. But it was a lot more physical back then. Like I said, these guys here, you can't even touch a guy without them calling a foul. You know what I mean? These flops, you know what I mean? And these taking charge, you know what I mean? Yeah, it very well could happen. You know, I
got to bring in another NBA mind real quick. This guy here follows the NBA just as much as he follows the Cowboys. I got to get his opinion on this real quick. And we're going to welcome to the Irish Sports Radio Show. Welcome, Rick. Rick, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing good, Rodney. How's it going, bro? Royce,
doing
how
good,
you doing,
man?
What's going on, Rick? How you doing, man? You got Ranger fever yet? You got Ranger fever yet?
Hey, man, I'm still in there, man. We ready, man. We got to get it
out. Now, I noticed that you called in earlier today because you want to comment on this NBA thing, this thing about Durant being number two, Michael Jordan say he could go for 100. I mean, let me get your thoughts first of all on the Durant being number two. You think what Dwight Howard said and what Ron Artest said is true? You think Kevin Durant's the number two player in the league right now?
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. I mean, what I would do is respect their opinion, you know, because they're the ones that's in the league, you know, so their opinions has got to be valid. You know, but from what I see, you know, and playing a little ball myself and really just feeling like I know the game, I really wouldn't just say that Kevin Durant is number two in the league right now. I do think he is a complete, and when I say complete, I mean complete offensive player. You know, but there's other phases of the game that I think that Kevin Durant needs to get a little bit better at before I would say that he's number two. You know, I wouldn't be mad at all if I had him on my team or if I had him leading my team. I wouldn't be upset.
Right.
But, you know, I flip-flop back and forth so much between Kobe and LeBron being number one in the league and number one and number two.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I flip back and forth, you know, and it's an argument. That's why what I can say about Michael Jordan, he, in my opinion, he would have to be the best player to ever play the game. From what I see, when he was playing the game, it wasn't any argument. It wasn't even an argument who's the best player in the game. It was undoubtedly him, you know. But with Kobe and LeBron and Durant, you know, everybody's got opinions, you know, and everybody's going to have a different one. You know, so that's why I would have to give Mike the nod as greatest of all time. But right now, you know, you wouldn't be wrong if you said Kobe. He's got the rings. He can do everything on the court. He has absolutely no flaws to his game. The boy is solid. Only thing bad right now for him is that he's getting a little older and NBA older. Not, you know, old, but he's getting NBA older. And his he's, you know, on the decline a little bit. You know, LeBron James, same thing. He can do just about everything on the court. It's pieces that he would need to work on a little bit, but he can do everything on the court, and he's the young one. He's on his way up. You know, so
that's a good point.
You know,
but do you think there's any validity to the point that Jordan says that if he played in today's game based on the physicality and the rules, that he could actually score 100 points in the game?
Without a doubt, honey. Easy. Without a doubt. You know, Michael was scoring, you know, 40s and 50s and 60s, you know, against teams like the Detroit Pistons when everybody on their team play defense and everybody on their team going to beat you up. And the Knicks, you know what I'm saying? Mike played against those teams and he was still dominating. Believe it or not, Cleveland. When Cleveland had three tall boys out there, Brad Jordan and Hot Rod Williams and Larry Nance all on the court at the same time. You're talking 6'11 up to 7'1. You know, Michael still hitting 69 on him. You know, if Mike can do this right now, you can't touch the player, you can't hand check and stuff like that, you know, that they'll call. Mike would eat that up. He would eat that up.
You know, these guys can't play defense nowadays. I mean,
now, I wouldn't agree with that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't agree with that. There's some cats in the league that play defense. And I mean,
I like the game.
You know. And it's some teams that are more dominantly like defensive teams, you know. Believe it or not, Boston is one of them. You know, they defensive teams, you know. So, you know, some games are, you know, good defensive games, you know, mostly offensive. That's why people would naturally say that don't nobody play defense. And, you know, when you think about it, though, the game is slowed down a lot. You know, they're scoring 70, 80, and 90 points versus hitting 124.
Ain't no running showtime like it was. You know, everybody had fast break.
Magic Johnson was something else. He was something different out there, you know, and it was an argument for a little while, who's the best player in the league? Is it Magic or is it Michael? Once Michael stepped up, got in the playoffs, started winning, hold up, man.
I agree with you on that. I think definitely Jordan could hit 100. I mean, I wouldn't put nothing past Jordan. If he could go for 150, there's some teams in the league right now he could hit 150 points on, point blank, period.
Oh, yeah, the Mavericks for sure.
No, he wouldn't do that. Mavericks play better defense than what they get credit for. You know, Mavericks is really not bad like that on defense. I think they might even lead the league or was number two in the league in, like, you know, three-point percentage defensively. You know, the Mavericks ain't as bad as what people think. But Mike going to kill them too, though. He ain't going to hit a 150, but he going to get a good, solid 90-100 on him. He can do that probably.
Yeah, you're right about that. And if any of you guys listening live, of course, you want to get into this conversation, you're more than welcome to. Again, the number is 323-927-2906. For those of y'all that are downloading the show on iTunes or through a podcast, We do the show every Tuesday and Thursday from 9 to 11, and you can reach it at blogtalkradio.com/RF Sports. And if you guys don't know, our Thursday show is our huge show where we get to a lot of picks. We do college picks. We do NFL picks. And I know we all are part of that, Rick. You finished 5-9 just like I did, brother. And,
Royce,
you finished 4-10, so we got to redeem ourselves this week.
But let me ask y'all a question. One quick question before we move on. All right? One quick question. If Michael Jordan could shoot 100 points in today's game, today, Will Chamberlain could score 200?
No, I don't think so.
No.
I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. Because when Will played,
Will was always a top player
on the court when he played. He always had his advantage against a lot of teams he played. Everybody's got one, even 2 7-footers. You know, so I think the game is a little bit different than when he played.
What about Kareem?
They would be able to check Will Chamberlain with power forwards, you know, in today's game. It's a little different out there for Will. He can't just go out there and dominate. Now, Kareem would be a little different story. He ain't going to go out there and hit 200, you know, but he did have that skyhook level where he was going to shoot over somebody that's 7'2", 7'3". He can do that easy, but I don't know about – he probably wouldn't be able to get 100. Michael Jordan just got that other factor. You know how many fouls they called when Michael Jordan was playing? Think about how many fouls they would call now. Michael Jordan got that factor, man. You can't do nothing.
Yeah.
He's golden, man. He was something different.
All I have to say to that is I saw Wilt play. So until you see him play, I wouldn't say that. Wilt Chamberlain was a – not only was he the biggest man – he was a player. He was a dominant player.
Mm.
You know, Will didn't score 100 points just by being the tallest man on the team.
True.
He did score 100 points in a game. Right. He didn't. Yeah, right. But he didn't score 100 points because he was the tallest guy. He scored 100 points because he knew how to dominate a game. So I'm going to leave that question for later on down the line. All right.
That's a good point, but I mean you couldn't disagree with that. I didn't see the man play, so you know your opinion is valid. You know I couldn't.
Right.
I've never seen him play, but I'm just thinking about it. You know, with him being you know every bit of 6'10", 6'11", you
right.
know it'd have been tough on him because you bring one of them out, you put somebody else back off in. You know, Will Chamberlain couldn't shoot them free throws neither. He was terrible on the free throws.
Right.
That's
right.
True.
But
listen,
it was going to be bleacher talk with him.
Right. Out of the history of the NBA, nobody else has ever scored 100 points. I leave that at that.
Ooh, that's amazing.
Right?
Am I
right?
Can't argue with that.
Yeah, you agree
right,
about
Rodney?
That. You're right about
right.
that.
Okay,
I can't say that, but I think you're right.
In the history of basketball, no other player has ever scored 100 points.
I think Kobe could have hit 100 that game. He hit 82 because he didn't play the whole game.
Well, he didn't. He didn't. He could have, would have, should have.
He did right on. He didn't hit that 100.
That's right. He could have, would have, should have. Okay. I'll leave that alone.
I'll be hating on Kobe, but that boy can play basketball.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
All right,
let's move on.
Before we get on, we're going to let all our listeners know me and Rick are going to be doing a special NBA preview show, previewing the seeds. We're going to do that sometime this week, maybe next Saturday. So you guys keep checking the site for that. But it's going to be an NBA preview show. We're going to go through some of the trades, the draft, acquisitions from the teams. And we're going to give you all a lot of opinion on how these teams are going to shake out and how they're going to finish. And I think you'd be surprised at where we're looking at, especially with teams like the Miami Heat and the LA Lakers. So you guys stay tuned for that and look for that on iTunes or download it from the podcast from the show. But we're going to definitely get that rolling here pretty quick. Before we get into the picks in the NFL, y'all, real quick, I want to touch on something real, real brief. We're going to spend a lot of time on it, but I do value you guys' opinions on it. The Facebook question today was in regards to a lot of talk about agents and college football. If you guys don't know, an agent came out and made some statements that he paid almost 39 different current NFL players that are playing now that are not playing now, but that were college players that he paid money to have them sign with him at a later time. And he brought a couple of names like Ryan Leaf, Santonio Holmes, Jonathan Ogden, a couple of players that you guys would know. And I bring up this question. The Facebook question was in regards to what's going on in college football with the suspensions and the violations, but it touched mainly on the biggest one today, which is the Reggie Bush deal. Reggie Bush got caught violating NCAA rules. The school's been put on a four-year penalty. No national TV games, no bowl games, loss of scholarships. And Reggie Bush is going on to the NFL. He's got a Super Bowl ring. He did forfeit his Heisman, but he's gone. Pete Carroll's gone. This agent apparently is doing whatever he needs to do. So they really left the players that are playing now and the players that played with Reggie Bush during that time kind of in a bad position, because these players that are playing now will never have a nationally televised game, won't be in a bowl game. The guys that played with Reggie Bush, their records are going to forever have an asterisk on it, because those wins that they had as a team have been stricken by the NCAA. So the question on Facebook was, do you feel like, and this is all about what we can do to stop from this from happening even further, but do you feel like the players will be justified to file a civil suit against Reggie Bush, Pete Carroll, and the agent because now their records are basically tarnished in college football? Their whole experience is tarnished in college football. And I know it's not a criminal act, but people have sued for even less worse things before. Do you feel like they'd be justified in filing a civil suit against these guys for ruining their college experience? And if not, what needs to be done to stop this from happening even further? Because it's happening more and more now. And, Royce, I'll get your opinion first.
Okay. Number one, to stop this from ever happening again is quit making it a rule and make it a law. See, a rule is always meant to going to always be broken. But if you make it a law, then for these, whether it be the player or the agent to do this, then they're breaking the law. It's a criminal offense, you know. Mm-hmm. I say don't punish the school. Punish the player. Like Reggie Bush caught school that. Don't punish the school. Like I said, the guys behind him, the guys that didn't do it. Well, you know, find Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush makes $1 million. Make him pay.
Right.
But as long as it's a rule, they'll never be able to fix it. But if they make it a law, then that's a whole different story. People won't do it.
But I understand that, but it's going to be even harder to make. I mean, the separation between government and school has got to be pretty, pretty big, because you can't make it a law if someone does this. But it's got to be something. You know, I just don't see it becoming an actual criminal offense or a law.
You can make anything
into a law. I think the only action
is
civil action. Yeah.
Well, you can make anything into a law.
Well, that's true.
Seatbelt, driving pass, you know, you can make anything into a law. You know what I mean? And like I said, if it's but I hate the schools are being punished. They should punish the player or the agent. If they found guilty, then they need to pay it financially or pay it by doing time. So
now you brought up a good point once before about how if these guys were getting paid, then maybe this would
be paid them. You wouldn't have that. You could, and it don't have to be by your talent. It could be rated on freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. It's a set amount, you know, every player gets. Nobody gets no more than the other thing, you know what I mean? Because they do make millions for the school. And they are, like, working for the school, if you think about it. Their whole life is playing football for the school. So it's like you're working for them anyway. You know, you generate money. You know, that's what workers do. They generate money for the company. So they generate money for the school. And then that would cut out some of it, too, but rules are always going to be broken. I don't care.
And I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I think, you know, rules are going to be broken, and I think that's a pretty good idea if they were to make that a law. I just think the government is going to, you know, they got so many other things to think about, they probably wouldn't do it.
Right,
but,
right, I understand.
You know, I agree, you know, that would be a good idea. But when you think about it, would they be justified to file a civil suit? Yes, they would, you know, because their names are tarnished and the school is tarnished. But do I think they would do it? No. Being a player, they're going to be out there and they're going to say, man, don't nobody care what, you know, now.
Right.
So what? He got caught. Don't nobody care about that. We still had to step on the field. We laced our shoes up and we put our pads on just like everybody else. And we went out there and we played football. If y'all was better than us, beat us. You know, it really doesn't matter about all. It doesn't. Them players ain't going to care about that. You might have one or two people that's broke and didn't make it to the league or something, and they're going to, you know, try to write a book about it.
But take into consideration that a lot of these guys didn't make it to the NFL and won't have a chance to make it to the NFL. So all they have, the peak of their football careers is going to be playing Division I football for the USC Trojans. You see what I'm saying? So now they don't even have that anymore. When they son or daughter goes online,
they have
and
that, right?
My dad's working at USC.
You can't take that away from them. They're going to have that they play college football. Right, they're going to have that they play college football. What's going to think? A whole lot of them ain't going to make the NFL anyway. You know what I'm saying? I hate that they, but I can guarantee you, every player knows somebody that took money. I guarantee you that. Every player that's playing right now, that's right, knows somebody that's taking money. I guarantee you that.
It would make it cool if they were to pay them, like you were saying, too, you know, based upon their grade or something like that, not necessarily performance.
Right.
But when you get down to it, they are paying them with their scholarship. You are getting a chance to better yourself no matter what you do, even if you don't make it to the NFL, which 90% of y'all ain't going to make it. You know, you can still tell, but I went to USC. That's on your resume.
Right.
You know,
right.
So you still got a chance to get out there and better your situation, you know, no matter how you look at it. You know, it's going to be people that you met in college that's going to go off and do better than the next person and be able to hire you. It's all that kind of stuff. It's that self-discipline you learn at college. So they're getting paid.
The scholarship, the education part, the scholarship ain't nothing because the school got that money anyway, whether it's from a bowl game, whether it's from raising tuition fees, whether it's from whatever, the Nike sponsorship, you know what I mean? They got that money, so they really not paying anything for the education. And these guys are not coming out being doctors. They're coming out as some kind of sports and gym teachers, you understand what I'm saying? It ain't like they're getting a master's degree in law. You know what I mean? So really, when I look at education, really didn't cost the school anything. You know, you go 4 years of psychology. You know what I mean? Liberal arts. I mean, what is that? None of my doctors or lawyers. You know what I mean?
But you know how college is, man. It's a matter of what you do. What you do when you go to college. What you get from it and what you make of yourself. So they still, it's people that's got psychology degrees that are computer scientists. You know, it's a matter of what you do out there. You know, the schools do have that money. I agree with you. The schools have that money. They don't have to give it to you. It's a bunch of people out there that want this same money. We're going to give you this education. Right. Gonna play for us. We'll take care of it.
Right.
Let me give y'all some opinions.
You know, they
set
up to give
out
scholarships anyway. Right.
Let me give you some of the opinions I've gotten on Facebook. I had a good friend of the show, Devin Steele, Young Steele. He timed me. He says, how in the world did Reggie Bush and Pete Carroll ruin a current or past player's experience? He said, that's a bogus claim. He said, whoever's comes out trying to do that or sue anybody or hold them accountable is only out for the money. That's one opinion. I got another opinion that says that there's just speculation. No NFL team or owner would ever hold anything that Reggie Bush did against any other teammate on the team. And I said, think that this stuff did not start with Bush. This type of stuff happens every day and has been happening before Bush and Carroll and will continue to happen. So with that said, I mean, you guys brought up a good point. Like you said, they could do that, but in the same respect and same regard, players on that team knew Reggie Bush was getting money. They knew he was riding around in nice cars. They knew his mama and them was living in a big house they couldn't afford. The players knew that, but nobody said a word because they were winning games, and it was Reggie Bush.
Right.
None of them had stood up and said anything to anybody, including the coach. The coach knew it, too. So, I mean, I think that even if they do get paid, it'll still happen. I don't think that's going to stop anything. I think you got to hit them in the pocketbook some kind of way, whether it be the agent, whether it be the player while he's in the NFL, whether it be the coach, who makes extremely, the coach gets paid more than anybody in the athletic program. You can hit his pockets.
Somebody is going to get paid for it. They're going to get paid for it, and they're going to try to, but it's going to be those certain people that haven't made anything of themselves, or it's going to be the certain people that did something, and now they just kind of on the low end now. It's going to be somebody that's after that money. You know, that's the problem. And it's going to be some people that's going to have too much pride, you know, even though they need the money, not to go out and do something like that because of the relationships that they built with everybody on their team. You know, would they be justified? Sure, they would be justified. I just don't think they would do it. But they can go ahead and make it a law. It don't matter if people are going to break that too.
Right. And no matter what you say, everybody has a price. I mean, you know, sooner or later, you know, even if you made it a law, somebody offer you something more than you could ever dream of, and you'll take it. You know what I mean? Everybody got a price.
Right.
Has a price. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
But,
I thought it was really interesting. I got another email just came in, and someone is saying that it sounds like a great idea in principle, but it would open up the door for all kind of lawsuits. He brings up SMU. He brings up other players. He said, "Why?" He said, "If that happens, what would prevent a guy from suing a star player that got hurt and ended up costing them a season, or someone actually, you know, not playing because they know they're going to the NFL or having surgery during the season?" So he brings up all that too. That opened up the door for all kinds of frivolous lawsuits, you know. So that's a good point there too. But I thought I'd bring that up because it's a lot of it going on the news. And I didn't know this, but some of these states, there's laws that are on the state law that a school could actually sue an agent for pursuing a guy while he's in college. And I don't know why they don't do that. I don't understand that. Why not, instead of talking about making it wide open for agents to contact these players all the time, why not go after somebody to the full extent of the law? And I guarantee you, if you go after them with the law, they'll stop doing it.
Go after the agents. The agents are the ones with the bread. If you want to do it, go after them. You know, because the kid, would you take the money?
Yeah.
I was a grown-ass man, and I would take the money, too, right now.
Right.
You know, the agents, if you're going to do it, go to the agents and do it. The schools ain't going to be able to control all of that kind of stuff. These are kids, man. These are 18, 19, 20-year-old kids that are making these decisions. $30,000,
you know, and it goes just like in elementary school. Your kid at school, you wanted them protected. You understand? That's from outside people, outside influence. Am I right? That same thing should apply in college. You know what I mean? They come to your house. They ask to take your kid away for 4 years. They're going to take care of them. They're under their care. They should protect them. You know what I mean? Same way if you send your kid to school, elementary school, they should be protected from some of this outside stuff. And like I said, some of these coaches got to take more responsibilities. Everybody knows somebody that's done it. You're not going to stop it, like I say, but you have to punish. Go up to the people that get caught. And if you want to talk about Reggie Bush, you know how many other players and cost the team suspension? SMU got the worst one I've seen in my life. You know, they got the death penalty, you know. And
man,
then you go
still
out
got up out of that, had it.
No, they still ain't got up out of that, man. They still, no one, they think about the players that played at SMU. You know, think about some of the players that played in the early days of SMU. They've never overcome that penalty.
Right.
The school ain't never overcame that penalty because, you know, Eric Dickerson and Reggie Dupart and all them, they went out and kind of did whatever it was they needed to do. It made them a little money. But once they got busted like that, you know, ain't nobody going to SMU. They going to SMU, you know, to get an education. They don't, they're probably a bunch of walk-ons or something up there.
Yeah, they are.
Okay, right now I'm going to give you an example. Look at Byron Ansbard, went to Texas Tech on the scholarship. He wasn't even going to play. He wasn't even enrolled.
Yeah.
And he played football.
Byron Ansbard, he was a DeSoto graduate. He won the Doak Walker Award, ended up in the NFL with the Atlanta Falcons on their Super Bowl run a year, running back kicks. He even played with Tampa the year they went to the Super Bowl. And he came out of Texas Tech, Doak Walker Award winner, high draft pick, and he had a zero grade point average.
Right.
A zero grade point average.
Was right. he doing it like that?
Zero yeah. grade point average.
Yeah, he wasn't even going to class. I mean, he wasn't even taking classes. He's playing football. So tell me, if you're not working for the school, that's a perfect example of you just a money-making machine. They go get the top athletes in the country, Rodney. The recruiters, they go out, they go all over the country, get the best athletes. You know what I mean? They go sit in the home.
No.
They sit down with the
That's on Byron. That's on him.
Right.
You know,
right.
yeah, they was using him, but I'm going to use you if you let me. That's the attitude
right.
that was taken.
Right.
He could have been enrolled in a ton of classes down there. He could have been taking 27, 30 hours if he wanted to. He could have
right.
been doing whatever he wanted
right.
to do. It was a matter of what he wanted to do. He took the easy way.
You know, signing day in college, high school football is a big deal, man. That's a business. Tell me that's not a business. We see these guys signing letters of intent and recruitment. That's a business. You be conducted like a business then.
Yeah, you're right about that. Well, that was good. I wanted to touch on that because we got a lot of feedback from that. If you guys still have your opinions on that, you're more than welcome to email the show at rsportsradio@gmail.com or go to the show page at blogtalkradio.com/rfsports. You can connect on our Twitter and connect on the Facebook and get the Facebook question from us too. Now, before we get into picks, guys, I want to update everybody on a couple of new developments in the NFL. They did say that Aaron Rodgers did practice today, but it's still kind of up in the air whether he's going to play or not. Darrell Revis had said originally he wasn't going to play against the Broncos, but apparently he is going to make the trip. Him and Pace is going to make the trip. And Colt McCoy is going to get his first start against the first start for the Browns against
the
Steelers. And Ben Roethlisberger, of course, is coming back now. And, of course, you have Jay Cutler is supposed to play this next game. He's supposed to come back as well, too. So we got everybody kind of coming back, some of the new developments. One thing I want to get you guys' opinion on before we pick is this Brett Favre deal, because we don't know if Favre is going to play as of right now. He came out and said he may be willing to miss 1 to 2 games because of the tendonitis in the elbow. If you saw the Monday night game, he favored the elbow a lot, couldn't throw the deep ball to Randy when Randy had the guy beat. So he don't know if he's talking about sitting out 1 or 2 games. And the reason I bring this up, because to me this right here stinks to me. It stinks really to me, because all of a sudden you have these allegations coming out about him and his sexual harassment with this reporter. Okay, you got the league talking about, well, if he did it, we have to suspend him. We have to suspend him. Okay. To me, it's the whole Michael Jordan thing all over again. When Jordan set out that whole year of basketball to go play baseball, you know, people talked about, well, maybe the league wanted to sit out, you know, in a lightweight manner on his own because of the gambling thing. He was gambling on sports, gambling on whatever. That never came out. We never learned about that. And I think this kind of stinks because now you have him, you know, he's got these voicemails. He's got text messages. He's got pictures that he sent. You know, they got all this evidence already. They've been having it for a while. And now all of a sudden, this guy has never missed a start, he's played the day after his dad died. He's played with all kinds of worse injuries and tendonitis, bad ankles, bad feet, whatever. And now all of a sudden, he's talking about missing 1 or 2 games for tendonitis in his elbow. Tendonitis is not going to go away. It's not treatable. It's not going to be any different 2 weeks from now. I mean, do you think this is really an injury? Do you think this is some kind of little like, okay, Brett, just go ahead and call the injury. But long as you miss these 1 or 2 games, we're going to let this thing slide.
Right, I got 2 things to say that. You know, the NFL does love Brett Favre. You know, if you think about it, he's got the records, you know what I mean? They like that it's big for football. And on the other hand, if I had to go on to my wife after being accused of that, my arm would be hurting too. You understand what I'm saying? I was like, you're pitching off that bill, honey. My arm is really hurting. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I look at that.
I don't think it's no NFL, you know, kind of getting into the matter. I do, you know, understand the analogy, you know, especially with that situation with Michael Jordan, but I don't think that's the situation here. I mean, when you think about it, I do think he's nasty. But what did he actually do wrong? You know, I mean,
it wasn't a matter of a criminal deal. You know, but right. we brought the point on Tuesday how Roethlisberger was suspended 6 games, got reduced to 4, and he wasn't charged anything criminal anyway. All he did was holler at a girl at the club. They went to the bathroom. She promised him something. He didn't get it. She didn't like the way he asked, and she was basically sexually harassed. You know, same way that this lady was supposedly sexually harassed as well. And he got suspended 6 games. This wasn't even in the confines of the of an NFL building like it was with the Jets. This wasn't even around the NFL at the time or during the NFL season. This was totally out of somewhere else.
The Roethlisberger situation was a whole lot different. His was more similar to maybe like a Kobe situation. Now, Kobe probably went on and admitted what happened and went through with it or whatever the case. But Roethlisberger know he did something off in there, whatever it was. I mean, he was drunk. And he got caught up in one of them situations, and old girl said no, or she might have went on and, you know, started the situation, didn't try to stop son, you know.
Right.
Well,
then,
no, but if it
was a really forceful situation, though, Rick, it would have been a criminal offense. It would have been a criminal offense, but there was no criminal charge ever filed.
It's a couple things that could have happened there. You know, nobody, I don't remember them saying that it was penetration involved or this, that, and the other. You know, I don't remember them saying that. You know, and even if that did happen, you know, she could have changed her tune on it. Some of her friends could have told her she was stupid, you know what I'm saying, stop acting like that. You know, or whatever the case, anything could have happened. We know something went on in that room. We know something went on in there. You know, come on, let's not kid ourselves. Now, Brett Favre, again, you're taking pictures of yourself and you're sending it to the girl. You're nasty, man. That's all that is, you know. But I can understand that.
And the difference is one was actual physical touching and the other one was Brett Favre was trying to get some. So it's a big difference. Yeah, you know what I mean? He was flirting. You can call it flirting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And who doesn't flirt? But Roethlisberger was more physical, and like I said,
keep in mind that this happened in the NFL during the season in the NFL building, between two NFL quote unquote employees. Because I mean, sexual harassment is a huge offense in any workplace. If you go to work
right.
and you make an advance towards somebody, send somebody a picture, you're gonna get fired. Period. Point blank and period. You're gonna get fired. And the NFL's got to treat this with kid gloves because you got the whole incident with the New York Jets reporter early in the season. You got a lot of female reporters that go into these locker rooms that work in the NFL. So they've got to discipline Brett in some kind of manner. They got to do that.
I agree with that. On GP of the NFL. You know, I agree with that. You know, give him. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Someone hit the readout button on their phone.
I agree with that. You know, discipline on GP or the NFL, you know, we got to do something. We have to do that. You know, suspend a boy for a game or whatever the case was. You know, Roethlisberger, you know, that was a different situation. That's why he should have got more games. But then, come on, that sexual harassment thing, man, that's a very, very touchy situation. Some of that stuff is warranted and some of it ain't. You're looking at a person like Brett Favre. I mean, he's out there. He's making millions of dollars and all this. You know, women know how to throw themselves at him and coach
right,
him into
right,
doing
right.
that.
Right, right.
You know,
let me tell you what I heard on the beat.
She did keep these pictures and voicemails for 2 years. I mean, she
did
keep them for 2 years.
Yeah, 2 years. And let me ask her why she just didn't text him back and say, I'm not interested. You know what I mean? That's all it took. You don't know what she sent back to him. You know what I mean? We just got
right.
one side.
He deleted his. Promise you that.
Right. Right. All she had to do was say, well, I don't like the way you're approaching. I'm not interested. Or leave me alone. You know what I mean? But we don't know what she said back to him. So my judgment is reserved. Like I said, that's between Brett Favre and his wife. He's the one got to go home. He has daughters. He has grandkids. You know what I mean? That's between them. And like I said, why would she keep him 2 years? And the ladies on the View were talking about this today. She said, why would a woman keep stuff like that for 2 years? You know what I mean? If she wasn't up to something.
And I agree.
Why'd she just delete it?
I agree, too. I agree.
Right. Why can't you
I just thought it was kind of interesting that this guy has started all these games in the NFL, never missed a game, no matter what the ailment, the injury, or the circumstance. And now you talking about 10-9, and say you be willing to sit one or two games. I just found it interesting.
Where it stinks is this. Just like you said, he's talking about tendonitis and blah, 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 blah. Man, they are 1-3.
Yeah.
They are 1-3 out there, just like us. And
right.
They don't want to be in the same situation. And Brett Favre is going to come out there, and he's going to come out there firing. And everybody going to be talking about if he have a good game. Oh, Brett did it. Brett did it in the midst of a terrible situation. You know, he's going through all kinds of trials. You know, man, nobody want to hear that. Brett going to play.
Yeah, and he may be hurt. We don't know that. He may be hurt.
He may be hurt, but he's still
hurt. No, he's hurt. He's hurt. There ain't no doubt about it. He's hurt. There's no doubt about it. He's hurt more than
he
gets to the night.
Right, he took a beating the other night in the game. I mean, he was pounded, man. The whole first half, they had, 52 total yards? I mean, he was, they got to him all night, man.
I think a lot of it was mental going into Jet Stadium. I'll talk about what happened when he was at the Jets, looking around, seeing all that. I think a lot of that was mental, too, especially that first half. I think a lot of it was mental, too. But without further ado, let's definitely get to a couple of these. Let's go down these picks real quick because we do got to break down this Dallas-Minnesota game. It's a huge game for both teams, so we got to break that game down. Let's start off with a couple of picks. You guys will notice our world-famous pick show. We all got some redemption on our minds today. We got to redeem ourselves.
I won't be picking
Dallas. So, guys, I want you guys to pick with your heart, okay? Don't pick with your brain. Pick with your heart because you're going to need some heart in these picks. You're going to need some heart in these picks. So let's start off with the early games. We got Seattle going to Chicago, Soldier Field, to play the Bears. And since me and you tied, Rick, and Royce, you were last on Total Poll this time, I'm going to go ahead and give you the chance to pick first. So who you like? You like the Seahawks?
The Bears at home, I got to go with the Bears, man.
Rick, who you like in this game? You like the Bears too?
I can't disagree with him. If Cutler plays, Bears go 5-1, man. You know, I don't think Seahawks can go in there and do anything to them.
Yeah, I'm going with the Bears too because I think you know if Cutler plays, it'll be even better. If Cutler doesn't play, they can still win. From what I saw last week. So I'm going with the Bears across the board on that one. We got Miami going to Lambeau Field to play the Packers. And we still don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to play this game. You know, so let's just assume that however you want to pick it, whether he plays or doesn't play. But Miami coming off a bye week, they're ready to get the ball rolling again. So, Royce, who are you picking? You picking the Dolphins or you picking the Packers?
If Rodgers plays, I got to go with Green Bay. I can't see them losing back-to-back. And if he doesn't play Miami, you know, that Miami team is kind of weird. But I got to go with Green Bay. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers plays, I got to go with Green Bay.
You know what? I think even if Aaron Rodgers plays this game, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has a concussion for a reason. I mean, the offensive line has been getting them killed all season. You know, they don't really have an established running game. That's not helping them open up the pass down the field. And again, the tight end goes down. He's out.
They got three players hurt.
Yeah, exactly. Clay Matthews went hurt last Sunday. They're missing a tight end. Gresham, he's out. So I think I'm going to have to give a nod to the Dolphins. I'm going to go with the Dolphins on this pick.
Is Clay Matthews not playing?
No, he's scheduled to play. He's still scheduled to play, but he did go out with injury last week.
Clay Matthews playing, Charles Woodson playing, you know, and they at Lambeau.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go with Green Bay.
Green Bay, okay.
Okay, right now, you making a check of this?
Yeah, I'm tracking it up. I'm going with the Dolphins.
I have three for three already. All right, let's go.
I'm going to the Dolphins on this one. Now we got the San Diego Chargers coming off a loss to the Oakland Raiders. And, of course, they were on the road that game. They go back on the road again to Edward Jones Dome to play the St. Louis Rams. The Rams, after coming off getting beat 44-6, they don't have Mark Clayton. He's gone for the season. I don't know who Sam Bradford's going to throw it to. Of course, Steven Jackson been nursing a groin injury for the last couple of games, but he's still been performing, still been doing pretty good. Royce, you like the Rams at home to bounce back from a 44-6 loss? Or do you like San Diego to bounce back from a game where really Phillip Rivers had almost the game of his life over 400 yards passing, but they still lose the game?
I don't like neither one of these teams. To be honest with you, San Diego, I don't know. God knows. I heard a guy say that Tony Romo looked like he did good for a while, then he looked like he was shot with a stun gun. I say the same about Phillip Rivers. He might have threw for 500 yards, but he threw a couple of interceptions too. But
yeah.
I'm going to have to go. San Diego is a better team than what they play.
Yeah.
So I don't look for them to lose too much. No, I'm turning the asses on the line, excuse my expression. But I think San Diego pulled this one out.
Yeah. I like the Chargers, too, because I think the Chargers, I think they were embarrassed against the Raiders because they had that game won well before the fourth quarter. And I think they had the special teams. I don't know what happened to special teams. They get those punts blocked. They score. They fumble the ball. I mean, it was just like the perfect storm for the Raiders. So I think the Chargers bounce back, and they bounce back strong against the Rams. Rick, who you like in this game?
Yeah, I'm going with the Chargers, too. You know, I mean, this is the game for them to win. They need to win one, you know. So they finally decided to go ahead and get rid of Sean Merriman, who's probably a cancer in the locker room. You know, so I think the Chargers will go ahead and pull this one out. St. Louis is going to be a little light on this one.
Well, we are picking the Chargers to beat the St. Louis Rams, so you guys can mark that as a lock. We've got
and
next
keep
up,
away from their players.
Or know it.
That's
and
the,
next up, we got the Baltimore Ravens going on the road to Gillette Stadium and play the Patriots. Patriots got a home game. This will be their first time to really see the Patriots without Randy Moss. They did bring in Deion Branch. So we'll see what happens on the offensive side of the ball. Baltimore Ravens still rolling, still looking good. One of the top teams in the AFC going against another top team in the AFC. And I'm going to say this out front. Now, people think that I really have a bias against the Patriots, but I'm just telling you right now, they made a huge mistake letting Randy Moss go, and I think they're going to pay for it. They forfeited their offense for this season to get all those draft picks next season, and I think we're going to see that happen against this game because these other guys are not going to be open like they were with Randy Moss on the field. I know he didn't make a catch the last game as a Patriot, and they still put up over 40 points. But there's a reason for that. I mean, these guys are open because Randy Moss was on the field. So I'm picking the Ravens to win this game. The New England defense is not that good. Baltimore defense is great. So I'm going with the Ravens to beat the Patriots. Rick, who you like this game?
Well, I have a bias against the Patriots. But, you know, I would not pick them, you know. That's not one of those games where I just have to use my heart, really, you know. But, you know, I'm still going to have to go with Baltimore on this one. You know, I think that machine is still going to move. That machine was moving before Randy Moss even got there, you know. But when you look at it, how they able to put up 40 points like that, that's because 2 and 3 people is over there with Randy Moss and these other cats are open. How come Randy Moss ain't scoring no touchdowns? That's because two or three people is over there on him. They throwing it to everybody else. I mean, it goes hand in hand. You know what?
Right.
The Ravens is going to be too much for them. They're going to be able to shut that down.
Well, so you like this game?
Well, just like the Cowboys make a huge mistake in giving away T.O. Did you going to use that as an example? That was, you know, and they end up losing. I'm going to give it to the Ravens because I got to resort to something God told me a long time ago, the defense win championships, and I got to give a better defense to the Ravens. I think I think they are going to miss Randy Moss, but I think Baltimore is just a better defense than anybody else in the league right now. So
now you're pretty big on this Deion Branch. You like Deion Branch coming back to the Patriots.
Listen, Deion Branch is no punk, Rodney. I know you have your doubts about it, but he can open up the offense. He can spread out the defense. I mean, he's a respectable receiver. You got to respect it, you know, because the man has hands. So, they lose a little bit. They lose a randomized type player, but they don't lose a whole lot. Trust me, Deion Branch is the MVP. You know, the man can still catch.
Well, like I told you before,
he's a better route runner than Randy Moss.
Okay,
if I was the Patriots, I would like him coming back. If I was the Patriots, but
right.
You know, he's just there. He's neither here nor there, man. He's just out there. He's another receiver out there, and
right.
It's good
he's
for the Patriots to have him back because he
right.
already knows the system. That's
right.
Really it. That boy ain't no threat, man. Shut him down.
You think he's a better route runner than Randy Moss?
I know he knows the system better than Randy Moss. You know, I mean, the boy won some Super Bowls in that system. You know, he
That's
knows
right.
that. But he's nowhere close to any part of the receiver that Randy Moss is. Only advantage he might have is that him and Tom Brady might be more connected or something.
Well, I say that they lose something, but they don't lose everything. They lose something with Randy Moss, but they don't
all
lose.
All I got to say is you keep doing this that he was the MVP in my face, but so was Larry Brown. Larry Brown was the MVP too. So,
and,
I mean, that MVP of one
and,
game don't mean nothing. Don't mean nothing.
He's
That's
a,
all I got to say.
He,
MVP of one game don't
he,
mean
he's
nothing.
He's a successful broadcaster because he was MVP. Had he not been MVP, you think he'd been in broadcast booths like now?
I mean, I understand what you're saying, but that's we're talking about on the field. We ain't talking about out the field.
Man,
okay.
For real, what Dexter Jackson doing? He was an MVP, too.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, listen, they don't get it.
Y'all don't even know who Dexter Jackson is, dude.
Let me say this. They give you an MVP award because you were the best player for that day. Am I right?
Right on. That game,
right. That's real. Okay. It ain't, right. It's for that day. It ain't for your whole, every game you play. It's for that game. Right?
And Deion
Branch
got
can't be the best player for the day. Yeah, you can't be the best player that day. Right?
Yeah, sure. Deion Branch got here because he knew that system.
That day, he was the best player on the team. Right. Okay. So
we'll see how he fits in.
And you got to look. Tom Brady is a passing quarterback, and they do run the ball pretty good. So, you know, you still got quarterback Brady, and you still got Belichick.
Okay. So you feel so good about it? Pick the Patriots.
I was just about to ask, who did you pick?
I said I got to go with the old school thing. The defense win games, and I got
to go with
the Baltimore Ravens defense. And y'all said it too, defensive win championships.
Right, I agree.
Am I right?
You did say that, yeah.
That's right.
Let's pick a couple of these
other You can't keep using the Cowboys in all your analogies before you pick them.
Well, Robbie brought us trade Randy Moss. Y'all did the same thing with T.O.,
Let's pick the rest of these games so we can jump to this Cowboys real quick. We got the New Orleans Saints going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay, surprising team, only lost one game, beat the Bengals last week at the cost of Pumba, just basically threw up on the field out there. Saints need a win. The offense is struggling. They did bring in Julius Jones this week, so I don't know what that's going to do. He ain't Reggie Bush, so we'll see.
People got rid of him for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. So, Royce, what are you liking this game? You going with the Bucks? I know you're high in the Bucks so far, but they're playing your boys. They're playing the Saints. Who you gonna pick?
Well, I'm gonna tell you something. This year the Saints don't have it, and they don't have Butch. And I tell you what, without after the last couple of games without Reggie Bush, they're not the same team. And the way Tampa Bay has been playing, they are a sleeper team. They keep your eyes open for them. I mean, they're playing. I mean, they've always been a hard-nosed football team. I think this year they may get it together. I look for them to go 9-7. That's my prediction. So I'm going to go with Tampa Bay on this.
Oh, wow.
Wow, yes, sir.
Rick, well, I'm going to tell you something. Reggie Bush, I told y'all from the beginning, once he went down, they was going to be a different team. They machine still moved the ball a little bit, but it's just something that Reggie Bush got the mojo. You know, they brought in Julius Jones. He's played with Sean Payton before. He knows the system. He's just going to be able to help it out a little bit. He's the Deion Branch of the situation. Just come in and help me out. Teach these other boys how what we supposed to do. Help me out a little bit. But, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, in my opinion, I still think they playing over their heads. I'm going to have to go with the Saints because the Saints need a win. And Sean Payton is not going to keep going for that. At some point, Sean Payton and Drew Brees is going to win. And they're going to go in here and do it. And then we all know, at some point, the Bucs is going to stop playing over their head. They can't even sell their games out. They all fans don't even believe in them.
That's a good point. But with that said, though, I think I'm going to have to pick the Bucs, and I'm going to tell you why I'm picking the Bucs. If you look at the last 10 years, maybe even farther back than that, no team has really repeated as the NFC South champion. It's always been a worst-to-first league. Division, I'm sorry. It's always been a worst-to-first division. So I think, you know, I think just like that division turns upside down every year, I like what the Bucs are doing. I can't say I don't. I like their defense. They got a young defense. They got a young quarterback. He's out there playing. He ain't playing scared. I like the Bucs at home. I'm going to have to go with the Bucs in this one.
But you know what? If the Cowboys can beat the Saints, Tampa Bay can beat the Cowboys broke their winning record. Last year, they were defeated, and Dallas didn't beat them. I think Tampa Bay can beat them.
You feel them.
All right, so we got the Detroit Lions going into New York, the new Meadowlands to play the Giants. Detroit coming off a big 44-point performance. Sean Hill had the game of his life. Yeah, Dominican Sue was sacking and picking up interceptions. All kind of stuff out there, mayhem out there against the Rams. The Giants are coming off a win against the Texans. I mean, they got everything. Looks like they're rolling right along. Giants defense is looking really, really good. So who you guys picking this game? Rick, who you picking against the Lions and the Giants in New York?
Man, I would love for the Lions to go in there and whoop up on them. I just don't think they're going to be able to do it.
You think 44
really
points was a fluke?
I think the Giants is going to win that game, man.
Do you think that 44 points was a fluke?
I wouldn't necessarily say it was a fluke. I mean, it happens. It happens, and they was overdue. They needed to do something good. You know, they played over their heads for a minute. I wouldn't say that it was a fluke, you know. I don't think they're going to be able to go in there and do that against the Giants. But I wouldn't say it's a fluke because they got, you know, a couple of good defensive players and they have one of the best receivers in the league. At some point, it's got to click.
It's got to click. They have been close this season a few times, too, so you're right. I think with this game, I got to let my brain work for me on this one. Even though I love for the Detroit Lions to win and make this NFC East a little bit closer, but I think the Giants are going to win, especially at home against Detroit. Royce, who are you picking?
Yeah, I'm not going to hear this, but right now the Giants are the best team in the NFC East. Mm-hmm. And when they're on, they're the best team in the NFC East. I got to go with the Giants. I know y'all don't want to hear that, but it's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And why we don't want to hear it, Roy?
Because y'all in the East.
That's why y'all on it, but it's the truth. I mean, you know, somebody got to tell y'all. Somebody got to tell you,
the
Giants not the best team in the East other than Philadelphia.
No, the Cowboys are the best team in the NFC East.
Well, the records don't show that, Rick.
Hey, it's just like you said earlier, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes the best player don't win.
Sometimes the best team either.
Yeah.
Sometimes the best team don't win. Real talk.
Yeah.
Right.
Then we got the, speaking of NFC East, we got the Falcons going to Lincoln Financial to play the Philadelphia Eagles at home. Apparently, I guess Kevin Cobb is going to start this game. He played really efficiently against the 49ers. It was a close game. It really wasn't that close. LeSean McCoy is doing his thing. So, who do you guys like this game? I'm going with the Falcons, you know, because I like what the Falcons are doing. I think they are a better team, and I need them to beat the Eagles at the same time, too. So I'm going with the Falcons.
I'm going with the Falcons, too. And that's not with my heart. Let me clear that up. But I'm going with the Falcons. I think the Falcons will be a better team on Sunday.
Russ, what do you like?
Well, I don't know which Falcon team going to show up. That's the question. Which Falcon team going to show up? And I'm going to tell you something. Philadelphia is riding on a high right now. I look for Kevin Cobb to keep doing what he's doing. And I think on paper, Atlanta's for the win. I'm going to go with Atlanta.
And then we got the Cleveland Browns going to Pittsburgh. Colt McCoy's making his start. Roethlisberger's making his first start of the NFL season. And I don't know if I can pick this game from everybody, but the Steelers are going to kill the Browns. They're going to kill the Browns at home.
Man,
Ben Roethlisberger's first game back, their defense is going to be churning. They're going to blitz Colt McCoy so bad, he's going to wish he was still at Texas, I'm telling you. He's going
to
wish he
welcome
was still
to the NFL
Texas.
Rookie. It's going to be welcome to the NFL rookie.
It's going to be a welcome NFL party in the backfield, I guarantee you. So I'm picking Steelers this game. Roy, so you like this game?
Steelers defense. Man, they're going to crucify it. I don't look for him to finish the game. I don't look fine with the Pittsburgh defense. Oh, man. Palomar hit that boy. It's over with.
I mean, it's a magic Colt McCoy. You get your first NFL start after you didn't watch your
Pittsburgh
two quarterbacks in front of you get hammered, and you get your first quarterback start
against
the Steelers.
The best defense in the league. My goodness.
I wish him well, man. I really do. I wish good things for Colt McCoy. But I'm going to tell you right now, Pittsburgh is a machine. Pittsburgh machine, much like, you know, that Patriots offense. You know, Pittsburgh is a simple machine. That's a period. They go go forward. They stop you on defense. All they need is just a little bit. They play field position football, and it goes on. It goes on without Ben Roethlisberger. This is the perfect time for Ben Roethlisberger to come back. This is an extended practice for him.
Yeah, it is. We all like the Steelers to kill them. Browns, and we got best if Colt McCoy going to make it through the whole game or not.
You know, and Ben don't even have to throw for 300 or 400 yards for him to win. All he got to do is throw 157 yards, and they'll still win.
It's an extended practice, man. He's going to look like he's out there with the red jersey because ain't nobody going to sack him. I'm telling you, man, please, Cleveland, come on, man.
So then we got the Kansas City Chiefs coming out their first loss of the season against the Colts. They didn't even score an offensive touchdown that game. They're going up against Houston, a team that needs to redeem themselves, get back on the winning track. They've lost, two in a row now? Well, one game against the Giants. The Houston Texans will be at home. They just lost at home to the Giants. I'm going to give the nod to the Chiefs. I'm going with the Chiefs in this game. The Texans, I want to go with them, but, man, after seeing what they did against New York and then seeing they almost lost against the Raiders, I'm going with the Chiefs and the Chiefs defense, man.
I can't do that. I think the Chiefs was playing over their head, and they've been brought back to reality. You know, with that loss, you know, man, y'all stop that. Cut that out. Y'all chill out over there.
You know, they're going to be back to the same old Chiefs. You know, they might win more games this year. Now, the question is Andre Johnson play?
Right.
You know, if
he's out there as questionable right now, but like I say, even if he does play, he's not going to be 100%.
Well, if he does play, even if he's not 100%, the Texans is going to win that game. I'm going with the Texans.
Russ, who you picking?
Houston, well, last week, Kansas City Chiefs were exposed by the Giants, and the Houston plays like the Giants on defense. I look for Houston. They're actually a better team than what they are. You know what I mean? I know they lost some games, but they also beat some good teams. I look for Houston to win this when they're playing at home, too, with or without Andre Johnson, simply because you got to look at the quarterback, the way he performed last week. I got to give Houston the nod. And I think, like I said, they play like this. They were Kansas City was exposed last week, you know. So I think Houston do the same. The QB's a pretty good coach. I think he watched the film last week of what they happened to him.
Now, y'all forget
Kansas
City held Peyton Manning to no touchdowns last week. Y'all forget
that. I understand.
Y'all forget that. They held him to no touchdowns last week.
In
Indianapolis.
Peyton was off.
But at the end, the last drive, who won the game?
The Colts won the game.
Okay.
On whose drive? On Peyton, but Peyton never scored, though. That was a running play. They ran that ball in.
He didn't run the whole field.
Right. No, he didn't run the whole field.
He can do the same thing.
Right.
Houston can do the same thing. Houston can do the same thing. They can drive that ball down the field.
Well, we'll see. I like the Chiefs.
Okay.
My winner here.
Okay.
Then we got the Oakland Raiders going against the 49ers. 49ers are 0-5. They're going against the Raiders team coming off a high of beating the Chargers. And this is almost like a home game for both teams. They're just right across the bay from each other. They're playing in San Francisco at Candlestick Park. Rick, who you picking this game?
Man, I'm so tired of going with the 49ers, you know, but I just, you know, again, I don't think the Raiders are good. You know, I don't think the 49ers are good either. This is a rivalry for them, you know, and I think San Francisco will get up and get them one in. I'm going with the 49ers.
Wow. Russ, who you picking?
I think Alex Smith is not the answer for San Francisco. I don't think it's the entire team. Jason Campbell's going to start. He did come in last week and pull an upset win. And Oakland's riding on the high. I saw Al Davis with a new suit on. Wearing the same suit. They got a new attitude. I got to go with Oakland. This is my upset pick of the week.
Yeah, I'm going with Oakland too, man. I think they go 0-6. San Francisco 49ers go 0-6. We'll see an interim coach by the time they hit their bye week. So I think I'm going to have to go with the Raiders on this one. Then we got the Jets going to Denver to play your Broncos, Royce, at Invesco Field. Denver putting up some good offensive numbers, although it's not translating into wins. I think the Jets defense will kind of slow that down a little bit, even if Revis doesn't make the trip or doesn't get a chance to play. Although they say he will go, they don't know if he's going to play. So I'm going to have to go with the Jets to beat the Broncos. Royce, who you picking?
Okay. You know, Kyle Harden couldn't get it done in Chicago. I don't think he can get it done in Denver. And I know he put up big numbers, but he's still Kyle Harden. Any way you look at it. I think Denver's not quite ready yet. So I'm going to go against Denver this week. I got to go with the Jets because the Jets are playing. I mean, they got a complete team, man. I mean, it was pouring down raining the other night, and they passed the ball with no problem. Imagine what they can do, you know, on a nice day. So I and the way they playing, I gotta get this Jets.
Rick, who you picking this game?
I'm going with the Jets too, man. I mean, I have to say I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. You know, I like what they're doing up there.
You know, I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid, you know what I'm saying? You know, different flavors of Kool-Aid, but they not my Cavassier, you know what I'm saying? They not my Yak. My Yak is for boys. We
Kool-Aid.
Already know what's going down.
Just Kool-Aid.
It's together. I mean, for real. It's the Cowboys is that Don Perignon up there. You know, that's what's going
is
down.
Is that antidote for that Jerry Juice?
yeah. You already know what it is. Now, but I'm gonna have to go with the Jets on this one. You know, Kyle Orton, I give him more credit than what other people do. I think he's a good quarterback. I don't think he's, you know, best in the league. Don't get me wrong, you know, but I do think he's a serviceable quarterback. But I just think the Jets are gonna be a better team than them.
Okay.
So we all like the Jets across the board on that one.
Right.
And we do these two next picks as a combo pick, that we can have a little more time to talk this. Dallas Minnesota game. So we got the Colts going to the Redskins to play the Redskins, and we got the Tennessee Titans on Monday night going to Jacksonville to play the Jaguars. And in this game, I'm going to take the Colts to beat the Redskins because we need the Redskins to lose, and I still don't think they're a good team. And as far as Tennessee and Jacksonville goes, I'm going to go with Jacksonville, man. I think they're going to beat the Titans.
Wow. Rick?
I'm going with the Colts, and I'm going with the Titans. We already know what it is with the Redskins. We don't even get into that situation, and they playing against the best quarterback in the league, arguably the best to ever lace them up. Yes, I did say that. The Titans, you know, I think the Titans are a better team than the Jaguars, period. You know, Titans played good against us. Vince Young got lucky with some of them sidearm passes he was throwing out there, throwing it to receivers that he wasn't even expecting to catch the ball, you know, and maybe they keep some of that magic going.
And that's a division rivalry game, too. Both of those teams need a win, especially with the Colts, you know, behind in the division. So they both need a win.
Yeah, it's a must-win for both of them. I got to go with the Colts on the first game. And on the second game, the reason I'm going to pick Tennessee is because of Jeff Fisher, because he came in last week with a game plan. Now, if he have a game plan like he did for the Dallas Cowboys against the Jaguars, I mean, they focus on their weaknesses. But the only problem is I saw Vince Young throw up a lot of passes that probably could have been intercepted. He can't throw it, you know what I mean? When he played Dallas, a lot of he just lobbed it up in the air. They do have the receivers to go get him.
Right.
And I got to put this back on coaching wise. Jeff Fisher, he's gonna have him ready to play. And you got Chris Johnson in the backfield. I think he's gonna have a big day running the ball. And it's gonna be one of those scenarios where Vince Young gonna have to throw up no big numbers. But I think Tennessee wins. I'm gonna give it to Tennessee.
Yeah. Okay, so I like the Jags. Both of you guys like the Titans. So we'll definitely see. There's going to be some separation in these picks. We could definitely tell that. Now, let's discuss this Cowboy game real quick. We've got about 15 minutes left in the show. If you guys want to get in on Cowboy Talk, or if you're listening live, the number is 323-927-2906. Get in on this Cowboy Talk. Now, Rick, now I got to talk to you for a second, man, because I already know how Royce is going to feel. I am so torn between this game, man. Number one, because it's like a no-win situation in this game, okay? And I'm going to throw a couple of statistics at you real quick that you may not even know. Teams that end up 1-4 to start the season have a 5% chance of making it to the playoffs. Teams that start 2-3 have a 21% chance of making the playoffs. Okay, so the numbers against both teams. Both of these teams have a must-win. Both teams have a must-win, and they got so many similarities between the two teams. I mean, look at some of the comparisons, okay? Take training camp, for instance. We all know how training camp was for the Cowboys. They in different cities every week. They training here. They training there. They're playing extra preseason games. They're taking it light in training camp. And that was evident by how they came out this at the start of the first quarter of the season. Look at the training camp for the Vikings. Brett Favre didn't show up till late in training camp. They didn't have all their players. And that's been evidence in showing what's happening to them starting out the season. Okay, then you got the offensive weapons. Both of these guys got a great offensive core. They got a good running back, Adrian Peterson, the three running backs that we have. They got good wide receivers, Randy Moss, Percy Harvin, Shanko. We've got Jason Witten, Dez Bryant, Miles Austin. Even Roy Williams is starting to come alive. So they both got offensive weapons, okay? Both of them have been plagued with sloppy quarterback play, which can be attributed to the offensive line in both cases. Brett's getting killed. Romo's getting rushed. He's having to deliver the ball early. I can't sit up back in the pocket like he wants to. You got two defenses that were top defenses in the league last year, but are not creating the turnovers like they created last year. Okay, you got both of them have expectations of being in the Super Bowl, playing in the Super Bowl this season. They put it all on the line with Brett Favre. They bring in Randy Moss. Jerry is putting pressure on Dallas because, hey, the Super Bowl is here. They got their pressure hanging over their head. And both QBs ended the game last week throwing a pick. Both of them ended the game throwing a pick on drives that could have turned the game around. So I'm really torn between this game. And I want to get your thoughts and see, I mean, which way are you leaning with this game? Are you leaning with the boys? And if you are, please tell me why you're leaning towards them.
Man, I'm not torn, you know, between this game at all. Not for one bit, you know. You know, I always think, you know, the Cowboys, when they get on the field, that they can win, period. But when you look at it, you know, with them being similar, you know, things of that nature, the stats and stuff that you were spitting out at the beginning, you know, we all know stats in every league change from season to season, you know. So none of that really matters to me. You know, so every time this has never happened, this is the first time this has happened, and this, that. I'm not worried about none of that kind of stuff, you know. Then the reason I say that is because the NFC, it's a lot of losses in the NFC. Anybody can make it, especially at this point in the season. Anybody can make it down there, you know.
True.
I'm going with the Cowboys, you know, because I think the Cowboys, you know, usually they play better when their backs are against the wall. I don't know why it's always like that, you know, because they're some drama queens. We all know that, but I don't know why it's always like that. And I think the Cowboys will be able to come out and do something. You know, if Brett's injury is messing with him like that, this is not really the defense for you to be doing that against. And if Tavares Jackson not really getting any reps in practice and things of that nature, this is probably not the time for you to come out here and get some practice. It's not going to work like that. You know, I think Minnesota is in a worse situation than what the Cowboys are in. But I do think Minnesota have that one factor, just throw it up to Randy Moss if it's a problem. You know, the only thing is with the Cowboys, you got to get it off. You got to get it away, and we just might get there first.
Now, Royce, you gave me an interesting stat about Randy Moss and the Cowboys. What was that stat again?
Randy Moss is 7-0 against the Dallas Cowboys. That's his record. They have never lost against Dallas.
Mm.
But anyway,
that's very true.
Yeah. Well, let me say this. If Brett Favre plays, I'm going to tell you, I got to get a nod to Minnesota. I'm going to tell you why, for two reasons. Dallas got exposed on the corners. I don't know anybody on Dallas that can stick Randy Moss, man for man. Number two, they are playing in Minnesota, which is one of the loudest stadiums in the NFL. Every time Dallas
And it's Randy Moss's first home game back as a Vikings.
And it's going to be loud. It's going to be very loud. I think it's going to affect the Cowboys because we know y'all the most penalized team. You know, you can't hear the call. You can't hear the snap count. You're going to get offside. You're going to get a false start. You know, I see all that. Unless they corrected that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Immediately,
right.
I don't see it corrected. And you have to look at the way, like I said, it's a home game for Minnesota. Randy Moss back. The atmosphere is going to be loud. You got Brett Favre. He's got to prove himself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I hate to say it, and I did pick the Cowboys last week. They lost. Until they prove me different, I'm going with Minnesota. Simply because the fact is, if you want to talk about stars on the team, Minnesota got them. I mean, you know, they can match out star for star power.
Come on, Rick, save me, man. Talk to me, man.
Hey, I mean, hey, I can't argue, you know, I can't disagree with, you know, with anything the Royce is saying, but you got to understand, this is the Cowboys that you're dealing with. Just like you've always said, you don't know which team is going to show up. You know, we could be that same team that'll go out there and put the beating on the Saints, you know, and shut Minnesota down. You know, who knows? We can, our defense can go in there and get in at, get after Brett Favre. All it's going to take is one hit. That's all it's going to take. You know, and I'm not worried about that Randy Moss situation, man. I know I give him a touchdown. That comes with it. That I know that's there. Don't just let him get off like that. I know
but he brings up a good point, the way against the
35-year-old Randy Moss. We're not playing against the 24-year-old dude.
Okay, but he brings up a good point. That secondary last week got used last week. They got used some terrible. And you said you don't think the Cowboys have a player that can stick Randy Moss. I don't think they got two players that can stick Randy Moss.
But
and
I
I'm
do
talking about
think they got a front line that's going to take it personal and going to say, we're not going to let you do it like that. We're going to get in there and get the quarterback. We're going to stop the gun. Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. What was y'all pass rush last week? I mean, DeMarcus had one sack. I mean,
hey,
what was y'all pass
one sack? That's one sack that a lot of defensive ends in the league would like to have. You know, don't DeMarcus Ware is not the one. That's the one we don't want to argue about.
Well, I mean, what was he the last two games?
He's on the field. Everybody knows it. You see DeMarcus Ware out there. And
okay.
He still get his thing off. Double teamed and all that. Now, he's going to make some mistakes because on the cool, DeMarcus Ware was the issue when Chris Johnson got that long run. DeMarcus Ware took that move to the inside instead of going to the outside. You know, maybe he didn't trust whatever was going on, but he did. You know, he made mistakes. But he's the best outside linebacker in the league.
But where's he been the last two games? I mean, sacked his ass the last two games.
He got him some in every game. So what's it?
He
hasn't dominated a game,
take
though.
Take the fact of the way this defense is playing right now. They're not creating any turnovers. But in all honesty and fairness, neither defense has created a bunch of turnovers. Neither one of them are as stout as they were last season. And plus, the Minnesota Vikings are going to be out with Cedric Griffin again. He's out for the season with ACL again, so that's somebody's secondary that's gone. I know we both have the firepower to make it, but you're talking about Adrian Peterson, and these guys are going to be determined to play at home. I like the Cowboys. I would feel better if they were at home with this game because,
right,
like you said, they do play better when their back's against the wall. It's going to be a totally different situation.
It's
like
they
went to Minnesota last year. Same situation. Must win game for both teams last year. And the offense didn't even score a touchdown. They put up 3 points last year.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Yep.
Vince Young, I didn't see a whole lot out of him last week. That ain't good for him. And he just, I mean, if the ball's up in the air in the end zone and you got Mike Jenkins and Randy Moss, who's going to win that battle?
Right. I think that was lucky, man. I'm telling you, I think some of that was lucky. I think Brett Favre, somebody who's more on target, believe me or not, if it makes sense to you, somebody that's more on target, them probably would have been some interceptions. You know, we saw that touchdown, man. Didn't nobody know where that ball was going except the receiver. Vince Young didn't even know where it was going.
He threw it in the air,
and then nobody see it but the receiver. Vince Young didn't even see where it was going. I think he tried to throw it out of bounds. I thought he was trying to throw it out of bounds or something, you know. But I'm telling y'all, man, I think we caught up on the wrong thing. You know, I got confidence in our defense. I really do, period.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worried about stopping them. Minnesota
ain't worried about
stopping us. Minnesota need to be worried about stopping us.
But are you worried about the offensive line? Are you worried about the offensive line with them two Williams Towers in the middle, Jared Allen on the pass?
I'm worried about the offensive line. I'm worried about the offensive line because the weaknesses on the Cowboys team is the offensive line and the safeties, period. That's what it is. That's your weakness on defense and your weakness on offense. And, you know, the good thing about it is the Williams boys, they haven't been out there doing it like that. They done played some good teams and some sorry teams, and they still haven't been able to get in there and just wreak no havoc like that. I'm not scared about this game, man. The Cowboys could go up there and win. The biggest factor is going to be that Randy Moss situation in that loud-ass stadium.
I don't think they'll overcome that. Like I said, the stadium is going to cause more – the noise is going to cause more penalties than normal, and y'all know y'all good at that. I haven't seen that corrected yet. It started in preseason, and it's continued. And it looks like you can't stop it. I mean, it's ever since preseason, they've been doing this.
Man, right? I am riding with the Cowboys on this one. I'm riding with the Cowboys on this one. And the Cowboys is going to win the game 28 to 17. Mm.
28-17. Now, Royce, you picking the Vikings. How you think the Vikings? What do you think the score is going to be?
You know, right now I'm not going to go there because, like I said,
you got to pick a score because it got to be a tiebreaker.
I don't have to pick a score. All I got to do is pick who wins. Score could be a 9-0, or 3-0. It don't matter. The win is what I'm picking.
I'll take the win.
I say Minnesota win this game. Because of two things. Y'all are still high on the Jared down too late. You know, y'all still the lingering effects of it. You know, like I think it's 16 weeks before it gets out of your system. You know what I mean? It's a long day. You don't get it. And the reason why I say because both teams are up against the wall, who wants it more? I mean, who wants it more? And for Dallas to go on the road up in Minnesota in that dome with that noise, Randy Moss homecoming, I mean, that's a lot to get over right there. It really is.
Randy Moss is worried about what his wife going to do to him when he come home, and he calling that little chick, telling her to hush him out. I mean, Brett Favre, that's what he out there doing. Brett Favre is worried about other things right now. He got too much other stuff on his mind.
This is why I'm making my pick. Okay, I was torn between the middle because these teams are so similar. They both got so many different stuff wrong with them. But I'm gonna have to give a nod to the Cowboys. I'm gonna tell you why. Because they are putting up. The offense is getting yards and scoring points. The defense is giving up some bonehead penalties, some bonehead plays. But I got to give a nod to the Cowboys because I honestly think Brett Favre is hurt, and I think he's playing hurt. And I think he's going to throw some picks, more picks than Romo's going to throw. And I think we will get some turnovers. I think Brett Favre is really, really hurt. For him to talk about missing 1 to 2 games, after starting every game he's ever played in, to me that sounds like he's hurt. So I'm about to pick the Cowboys in this one.
Well, it's that part on play. Of course now you got the upper hand to the Cowboys. But at the same time, you know, you say y'all throw up all these numbers and this and that. How many weeks can the offense do that every week? Can y'all put up 500 yards a game every week?
Well, we're going to see.
It's not going to happen every week. It's not going to happen every week.
We're going to see. Well, y'all heard it here. Royce is picking the Vikings, and me and Rick are picking the Cowboys on this one.
Of course, I knew y'all going to pick the Cowboys. I picked them last week, and the reason why I lost the pick last week was because of the Cowboys, and there's no way I'm going to go with the Cowboys again after they caused me to lose picks last week.
The Cowboys might have lost because you picked them.
Yeah, there you go. That'll happen too. So you want to thank everybody for tuning in. It's been a live show. We always press for time, as always. Y'all tune in Tuesday. When a discussion Tuesday is going to have to be whichever one of these teams, 1-4, what happens next. Because it's going to be something that's going to happen next. Favre, they go 1-4, 2-5. I don't even know if he's going to even finish the season. He might retire early. The Cowboys go 1-4. Who knows what's going to happen in that situation. So it'll be a lot to talk about on Tuesday. So you guys stay tuned. Remember to follow the show online, blogtalkradio.com/RFSports. Twitter, RFSportsRadio is a follow, or hit us on email, RFSportsRadio@gmail.com. We thank y'all for listening. See y'all on Tuesday. And go Rangers and go Cowboys.
Come on, man.
Thank you.